Amen. We certainly do give honor to God for his presence in this place. Thank God for his son Jesus, who gave his life on Calvary, that we all might have a right to the tree of life. To the Holy Spirit. So much to be thankful for. Somebody knows that God has been good, and they don't mind praising the Lord. Amen. We certainly thank God for all of you. Grace and peace to all of you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. 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 Certainly thank God for the senior choir. Amen. Who celebrates another year of faithful service here at this station in Zion. Let's give God some praise for them. Amen. They have perfectly blessed this church and been a blessing to this ministry. Certainly want to ask that you would continue to remember in your prayers the family of Sister Brenda Moore, who funeralized her mother on yesterday in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Amen. 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 God is good. The hymn writer wrote, I come to the garden alone.
Yes. Yes.
While the dew is still on the rose. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we do come with thanksgiving in our heart, grateful for this moment of proclamation, realizing, God, that we can do nothing without you. But God, we invite you to be the power behind the word, We invite you, Lord, to be the spirit that touches hearts, encourages souls, strengthens us with a new resolve to run on to see what the end will be. Steady my hands, steady my heart, steady my weak eyes, O God, that you might be glorified in this moment of preaching. This is my prayer. For Christ's sake, I do pray. Amen. It's good to see all of you here today. Certainly good to see Brother Christian Settle, who's home from Virginia College, and Tiara Hudson, who's home from NC State, and Sister Desiree Porter, who's home from Elon University. Amen. It's good to see all of y'all. I don't want to hold you too long, but I want to call your attention to the passage of Scripture which was read earlier from the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. In its entirety, but for our textual reference, verses 1 through 8. According to the New King James rendering, you will find these words: let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated as if yourselves are suffering in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God for the people of God. There is an old gospel song that was sung by the late gospel artist James Cleveland and later by Darryl Coley. He'll never let you down. The words of that song are, a brother will let go of your hand. A sister will seldom understand. A mother can always dry your tears. A father at times cannot be there. And even your best friends, it seems, can't be found. Then there's Jesus. He'll never let you down. When your house just don't seem like a home, family is all around you, but yet you're alone. The phone rings, but there is no good news. Everything seems wrong no matter what you choose. And even the happiest people are wearing a frown. But hold on, because there's Jesus, and he'll never let you down. Through storm, through rain, through sickness, through pain, the Lord will never let you down. I know that you have been hurt, you've been abused, you've been mistreated and misused, but the Lord will never let you down. In this Christian walk, we sometimes will be down, sometimes we're out, and life will toss us all about. But hold on, because Jesus will never let you down. Then the chorus goes, he'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. I want to talk for just a few minutes from this subject, count on God. Count on God. God. Sisters and brothers, when you count on someone, you have some expectations that they will perhaps come to your aid when you're in need of help. Amen. Come to your rescue when you find yourself in trouble. Come to see about you when you get sick. Mm-hmm. check in on you when you're going through tough times. And be there for you when no one else is able to help your situation. Many of us have been disappointed by people in our lives who we counted on when we were in a fix, and they were nowhere to be found. But my sisters and brothers, you can always count on God, because he'll never let you down. This book, Hebrews, was written to an audience with both Jewish and Gentile believers. And many of the recipients had suffered hardships, endured persecution, and been through their share of trials and tribulations. In response, some had renounced their faith, left the church, stopped fellowshipping, and turned back from following the Lord. They had been battered by a government that had often labeled them as enemies of the state. They had been harassed and hounded by leaders of the synagogues for their beliefs in Jesus Christ. They had been socially put down, knocked down, beaten down, and held down. And as a result, their fellowship of faith was faltering. Their Christian community was collapsing. And for many of them, their journey with Jesus was coming to an end. Scholars say that this book, when it started out, the writer knows that they were in a precarious predicament. They were threatened by those on the outside. And although he could not personally be there with the recipients at this time, in the time of trouble, he wanted to reassure them that God's promise of "I never will leave you nor forsake you." So this letter is written to encourage and exhort sisters and brothers to be steadfast in the faith, confident in their confessions, not depending on men or women who will at times disappoint, but counting on God, who is always present. Although it opens like a sermon, it closes like a letter. It opens like a message, but it closes like an epistle. And the writer closes by sharing some paranesis, which is a Greek word for ethical and moral teaching. As the writer closes, the first thing he encourages them to do is to continue to love each other. This was to be a kind of love that was to embrace not only those in the community, but also extend open hands and open hearts to strangers. That's why Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel according to Luke, says, "If we love those who love us, it's no benefit. Even sinners do that. If we do good to folk who do good to us, it is no credit for you. Even sinners are like that." Sisters and brothers, authentic Christian love is encompassing. It embraces others, to include strangers. And it is also enduring. That's why Paul wrote, "Love never fails." Do I have a witness in here? The writer then encourages them to be sympathetic to those who have been incarcerated because of their faith, thrown in jail because of their testimonies, put on trial for their confessions, and cast out because of their outspokenness about their God. Remember those who are mistreated because they are a part of the body of Christ. This writer understands that they may not have much, but he encourages them to learn to be content with what they have. Try to be thankful and always grateful with whatever you have, because whatever you have or don't have, God is still faithful. We may not have much, but God is still God. And we can depend on him and his promise, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The writer moves from the promise to a psalm of assurance. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The answer to this rhetorical question is nothing, because of God, who God is, what God is, and how God is. Isn't that right? When theologians and biblical scholars evaluated the scriptures, they were able to discover the nature of God, the God of the Hebrews and the God of the Old and the New Testament. Isn't that right? And because of what David wrote, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. They determined that God is omnipresent. My mama said he's everywhere at the same time. Am I right about it? Because of what Moses wrote, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They determined that God is omnipotent. He has all power. And because of what David wrote, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsettings and my uprisings. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my line down. You are acquainted with my ways. They determined that God is omniscient. He knows everything. My mama told me that. I've been to the seminary, but I learned that from my mama. And she ain't go nowhere. Yes, they determined that God is omniscient. And finally, because of what this writer wrote, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, they determined that God is immutable. He don't never change. Am I right about it? So sisters and brothers, we can count on God because of his nature, because of his character, and because of his essence. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And he is immutable. God never changes. If you want to count on anything or anyone, you ought to count on God. Oh yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I feel the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In verse 7, the writer does something unique. He writes, remember those who have rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. He asked them to remember their leaders, those who had preached to them the word of God, and those who had taught them the word of faith. But it does not stop there, because this writer understands that preaching is one thing, but practicing what you preach is another. He doesn't stop there. He knows the difference. And teaching the word of God is one thing, but living your life in accordance with the word is another thing. You ain't got to say amen. You ain't got to say nothing. Preaching that. Sisters and brothers, people may not remember a sermon. They may not recall a Bible lesson. But they always remember how the preacher, how the teacher, how the deacon, how the trustee, how the usher, how the choir member, how the musician, and how the elders lived their lives. Elders understood this, and that's why every now and again you could hear them singing the words of the old hymn, may the works I've done speak for me. May the life I live speak for me. May the service I give speak for me. Perhaps you're wondering, what were they to consider? Well, it was not only what they heard the preacher or teacher say, but more importantly, what they saw them live as it related to their faith. They were encouraged to consider, contemplate, and then imitate their righteous walk, their proactive faith, their just deeds and their compassionate acts of kindness. They no doubt had heard some great sermons. They had sat under some great teaching. But the writer does not ask them to recall that. He says, remember how they live. Do I have a witness here? We're living in a time of economic uncertainties, political instabilities. And those who have been elected by the people have often gone to Washington, D.C. and Raleigh. And they may be of the people, by the people. But when it comes to their legislative posture, they are not for the people. Do I have a witness in here? So, sisters and brothers, we may not be able to count on Congress or the Senate. But I believe I have a witness in here. We can always count on God. We may not and should not recount on the Republican-dominated legislator in Raleigh. But I believe there's a witness or two. We'll tell you we can always count on God. My friends, the record books of human history are filled with instances of catastrophic failure and devastating disappointment. When our ancestors, who were former slaves, were given 40 acres and a mule for advancing the Union causes in the South under the General Order Number 15. They thought they could count on the government to back up the order. But after President Lincoln was assassinated, President Andrew Johnson revoked the order, and they ended up with nothing. Do I have a witness in here? Everybody has to count on somebody. Am I right about it? Amen. Husbands count on wives. Wow. Wives count on husbands. Children count on parents. Employees count on the employer. While the employer counts on employees. People count on their pastor. To have a word from the Lord on Sunday morning. While the pastor counts on the people. To hear and heed the word that the Lord has sent. Everybody has to count on somebody. I'm here to tell you it's a blessing to have people in our community that we can count on. It's a blessing to have people in our families that we can count on. It's a blessing to have people in the church that you can count on. But then there are those you ought to be able to count on. But time and time again, for some reason, you're let down. Amen. I've heard testimonies about dedicated parents who are marvelous caregivers, great caretakers, and devoted providers to their families. But then something happened. Father time kicked in. Misfortune knocked at their door. Trouble found their address. Or a monkey got on their backs. And they were no longer able to meet their family needs, their children's needs, and sometimes not only their own needs. There are those sitting in this church right now who have been hurt, injured, disappointed, let down, and who carry the wounds from their past. Inflicted by somebody they trusted, somebody they confided in, somebody they looked up to, and somebody they thought they could count on. Do I have a witness? Sisters and brothers, Hebrews was written to people just like you and me, who were being battered, being bruised, being beaten, being belittled. And those folks, or some folks who had some things that had not gone their way, but they received a word from the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's good news. That's good news. That's marvelous news. That's liberating news. And that's news we can rejoice over. Because unlike us, Jesus never changes. People change. Organizations change. Time change. And we live in a world that's always changing. But God, He never changes. People may love or like you today, but run into some trouble, and tomorrow they won't like you. But God never changes. People may be with you today, but hit a bump in the road or disagree with them, and you will find yourself traveling alone. But God, He never changes. People may have supported you yesterday, or maybe even a day, but let things look like they're not going to work out. And tomorrow, you'll look around and wonder where they're at. But aren't you glad that God, He never changes? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my wife loves me. I know because how she treats me. Not just what she says, but also what she does. But one day, she may get too sick to do what she's done. One day, she might get too old to do what she used to do. One day, she might be too tired to be there for me. And one day, I'll have the same testimony. Too old, too tired, too weak. But I'm glad I can tell you that God, never too old. God, never gets sick. God, is never tired. God, is never too busy. And God, is never too weak to come see about us. Ain't the Lord all right? David knew something about our God, and that's why he picked up his pen and wrote, "I have been young, but now I'm old, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David knew something about our God, and that's why he wrote, "When mother, father forsake me, God will take care of me." David knew something about this. That's why he wrote, "It's better to trust the Lord than put your confidence in a man." It's better to trust the Lord than put your confidence in princesses. I'm here to tell you, Paul knew something about our God. That's why he wrote, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Ain't he all right? The hymn writer, Mary Ferguson, knew something about God, picked up her pen and wrote these words, "Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter had come. He abides with me forever. Make the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, quiet kindness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me at my pillow. Hey, they see it through. Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right?" Hey,
sisters and brothers, although life can be filled with uncertainties, filled with instabilities, filled with dark moments, and filled with setbacks, you expect one thing and something else happens. You look for one thing and something else shows up. You wait for one thing and something else comes knocking at the door. But we have this promise. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Husband may leave. Wives may leave. Children may leave. Parents may leave. And friends may leave. Church folk may leave. But God is always there. Ain't it all right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are no accidents in God. God uses everything to make us, shape us, and mold us into who He wants us to be. Everything we've gone through, or going through right now, or is just around the corner in your life, every hardship, every stumbling block, every problem is helping us to become disciplined soldiers on the battlefield. Fire, Lord, ain't the Lord all right? I'm here to tell you, nobody who ever trusted in God, who ever waited on the Lord, ever got disappointed. Nobody who ever looked to God as their help and their hope is ever disappointed. Your testimony might be, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm here to tell you, you can count on God. He won't disappoint you. Your testimony might be, I don't know how I'm going to get out of the mess that I'm in right now, but I stopped by here to tell you, you can count on God. Come hell or high water, come storm or rain, come heartache or pain, you can always count on God, because He specializes in opening closed doors, making ways out of no way, carrying His children through dark days and dreary nights, because He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Ain't He all right? Say yeah. Thank you, Lord. I've held you too long. I'm skipping over. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, about a story about a little boy who went to the corner grocery store and he asked for a box of detergent. The clerk said, "Son, what do you need the detergent for?" "I want to wash my dog," the little boy replied. The clerk said, "Well, son, this is heavy duty detergent and it's too strong for washing a dog." The boy said, "That's what I want." And he persisted. So the clerk sold the boy the box of detergent and said, "Now be careful. This is a strong detergent and it could kill your dog." The boy took the detergent and left. About a week later, the little boy came back into the store. When the clerk saw him, he asked him, "How's your dog?" The boy said, "I'm afraid he's dead." The clerk said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But I warned you about the detergent. I told you it could kill your dog." The little boy shook his head and said, "I don't think it was the detergent that did it. I think it was the rinse cycle that got him." Sisters and brothers, there are times when we feel like we've been put through a rinse cycle. We've been tossed and turned, drenched and dragged, burdened down with concerns and worries, overcome with stress and anxiety, life appears pretty dark, and we wonder where or when we can find some relief. So I stop by here to tell you, we can always count on God. Because I heard him say, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can count on God. Because I heard him say, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So when the devil starts acting up, you can count on God. When life tosses you to and fro, you can count on God. When you can't see your way out, you can count on God. When you're sick and doctors tell you you won't get well, you can count on God. If you can count on anybody in tough times, difficult days, tumultuous trials, it's God. If your soul is wounded, count on God. If your heart is hurting, count on God. If your spirit is broken, count on God. If you need direction, count on God. If you need hope for tomorrow, count on God. Because I'm here to tell you, it hadn't always been easy for me. And I've had my share of troubles. And like the songwriter, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But then the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. I was counting on God, and he woke me up early this morning, started me on my way, clothed in my right mind, blood running warm in my veins. I was counting on God. He put bread on the table, clothed on my back, roof on my head, gave me a reasonable portion of life left and spent. I'm going to be counting on God because I heard the hymn writer say, be not dismayed when every time God will, won't he do it? Won't he take care of you? Won't he make a way? Has he done anything for you? Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, yeah. Count on God. No matter where you are, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're grappling with or wrestling with, count on the Lord. He has just what you need. Yeah.